SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. A busy Tuesday and really kicking things off toward the NHC. And heading to Vegas later, we'll start bringing you action from Bally's tomorrow through Monday. Bonus coverage, of course, all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It feels like we just left. The NHC, back where it belongs. And the reason I'm kicking off the show with this is because Keith Shamblin is joining us from NTRA. And, of course, the staff, Michelle and Holly and Keith and the team, everybody busy at Bally's setting up the event center. And I know people have already arrived, including Hall of Famer Trey Stiles. And Keith joins us because he's going to announce the Hall of Fame class of 2022. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, I don't know if you realized, but baseball, Major League Baseball, is announcing their Hall of Famers today. So we're gonna steal all the thunder and all the headlines.
Exactly. We're gonna beat them to the punch, and of course, we've got some press release going out this morning in just a few minutes. But we'll break the news here on your show. The new inductees into the Hall of Fame. We have five this year. We have Stanley Bavlish, Michael Baychak, David Gutfreund, and Paul Matisse Jr. that were voted in by their peers, and they will join the late J. Randy Gallo, who we just made a decision at the NTRA and with the Players Committee to go ahead and induct Randy, you know, into the Hall of Fame the moment we found out that he passed away late last year. So there'll be five inductees. It's a great class. Just three champions and some of the best players in the history of the NHC joining the Hall of, you know, the other Hall of Famers. But it should be a great evening on Sunday. They'll all be present. The only one who won't be here is Paul. He unfortunately won't be able to make the trip this year, hasn't qualified, and he's asked that he'd be able to speak at next year's Champions Dinner, so he's optimistic that he'll be here a year from now. But everybody else will be in town, and of course, Ross Gallo will represent Randy at the dinner on Sunday night. So should be a very great event, and just some terrific players and great handicappers from top to bottom.
This is a pretty heady list, and of course, you know, it's one thing to, you know, to win an NHC, but it also the year after year and the, you know, the compiling of, you know, top finishes and qualifications, tour involvement and you know, tour success like David has had, and it's an interesting combination, but you know, certainly these four names and the late really kind of difficult, and I know David specifically, in fact, was going to make the attempt, and we're going to talk to Dave Gutfreund and Michael Baychak in this hour, but Dave said that he wasn't sure if he was going to make it, but not only his own induction, but to be there for Randy Gallo's, you know, the tribute to Randy was important to him as well. But this is about as august a group as you could compile.
It's an unbelievable group, and you know, a lot of people don't realize that Randy Gallo he was really one of the founding fathers of the NHC. He communicated a lot with some of the people at the Daily Racing Form, Mandy Minger, Steve Crist, who were very involved from day one at the NHC, and he had a great deal of input and, you know, was very supportive of this effort long before it got off the ground. And he's one of the reasons that it's grown into what it is today. So it's you know, sad that he passed away, but it's great that we're honoring him in this way. And he's certainly deserving, no question about it. And, of course, he was a great tournament host at Better Racing OTB for years while he ran that operation. He's a final table participant in 2019. And, you know, he was everybody in the room's best friend. It was amazing. He held court every year at the NHC, and just he loved, I think, more than anything, the camaraderie among the players, and looked forward to coming here. And, of course, he was here in August and competed very well. And it's hard to believe he'll be missed this year. No question about it. We'll be looking over at his table and wondering why isn't Randy sitting there. But Paul Matisse, you know, one of the best handicappers in the world. You can find him in the backyard at Saratoga just about every weekend, along with his brother Duke. And, you know, he won this event in 2016. He's qualified 13 times. Of course, Stanley Bavlish, he's just Mr. Consistency. I think he's been a top three finisher or in the top 10% several times. You know, won the event in 2007, his first time qualifying to the NHC, and it just, you know, a 14-time qualifier. It's hard to believe, but, you know, just a picture of consistency. And then you've got Mike Baychok, who, you know, what can you say? We have it on video. He's winning $1 million at the NHC by $1. With a horse named Glorious Dancer, who got up in the last jump to win, I think it was a Golden Gate.
Yeah.
And he watched her. He kept following the horse, realized that he had a chance to claim her and retire her and, you know, what she had meant to him. So he claimed her and retired her to a farm in Louisiana. And, of course, Mike has been a strong advocate for thoroughbred aftercare, you know, from that moment forward, really, and probably beforehand, but that's when we all found out about him. And of course, now he's very actively as not only an advocate for thoroughbred aftercare, but an advocate for horse players in a whole nother realm. I spoke to Mike the other day, and I know he's announced that he doesn't plan on betting on the horses any longer, but he hopes to be back, and we hope to have winning back at some point in the near future as a fan and a horse player, but very, very deserving, and you know, 12-time qualifier, and has probably the single greatest moment in the history of the NHC with Glorious Dancer getting up by a nose to earn him $1 million and a $1 victory in the contest. Just incredible. You know, just amazing stories by all this. You mentioned Dave Goodfriend, you know, no question, one of the best ever. I think he was playing for $5.8 million a couple of years ago here at the NHC with all the bonuses and things he had going. He had a great run. He won like five contests in less than 6 months in 2018. 15-time qualifier, once won $90,000 on a 20-cent Rainbow Six wager. And he said winning five contests in a six-month period was harder than winning that wager. And he was just on an incredible roll. But, you know, a lot of people know David. He's been pretty outspoken, but a great, great handicapper. And people may not know that he's also a fantastic poker player. He's earned over $1 million playing poker, you know, over his career. So he excels at not only handicapping, but card playing as well. So just a great group. Excited to have him join the Hall of Fame, and look forward to the induction ceremonies on Sunday night. They're always part of the champions dinner when we give away all that cash.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking to everybody, and at least get kind of a, you know, one of those instant read reactions to the, you know, to the news, even though they've all had a few days to let it sink in. And I know for really everybody there on that list has got, you know, valuable perspective about the game. And you know, we look forward, of course, we'll be there tomorrow starting coverage. And I wasn't sure about Paul. I didn't realize that Paul was absolutely not coming, so that's too bad.
Yeah, but the others will be here, and we're going to miss Paul, but he's just not going to make it this year. But we've got a great turnout. We're on course to have got nearly 500 individuals, over 625 entries, estimated purse of $2.3 million. That doesn't include another $350,000 in tour money that we'll distribute on Sunday night. And then we've got $850,000 in travel and hotel awards that are part of the prize package for all the, you know, these more than 500 people that are going to play. So we had 55 transfers so far due to COVID. But again, we think that was the right thing to do. And if people don't feel comfortable coming to Las Vegas, we want to give them every opportunity to use their berth at a future NHC. So they'll be transferred to next year, and hopefully COVID will be a little more behind us than it currently is. But all in all, great turnout. Looking forward to having everybody here. Should be, you know, a great setup. They're setting the room now. We have a 72-foot screen in the room. It's amazing what it's going to look like. Takes up nearly the whole wall when you walk into the room, but largest screen they've ever put up in Las Vegas, according to the audiovisual people that are setting the room up. So should be a lot of fun, and really looking forward to the environment this coming weekend.
Well, I'm glad to hear that as many as possible are going to follow through and. You know, after last year's delays and all the precautions and everything that was done to even get the contest executed, it feels so strange, you know, to be heading back again, Keith. I mean, literally, 4 months. There's actually a number of positives involved, in terms of. The signals available. Let's talk for a second about Thursday, in fact. And you've already set up the parameters for the first chance, last chance.
We have. It's a $500 entry. Last year we had 427 people play in the first chance, last chance. I think we put in nearly 20 individuals who qualified on the eve of the NHC for the NHC. So we're expecting another huge crowd on Thursday. We got four contest tracks: Aqueduct, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, and Laurel. We've got four mandatory, seven optionals. We've got race six from Gulfstream. We've got race six and race eight from Aqueduct, and then race eight from Fairgrounds that are the mandatories for Thursday. All that information's up on our website, and of course available here in the race book. At Bally's, but we're expecting a great turnout for the first chance, last chance, and that's just something we, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we added that tournament, but it's really, really taking off and added a lot to the contest. Gets everybody acclimated, allows us to test all the systems here at Bally's on the eve of the NHC, make sure everything's working well, and and it obviously allows a lot of people one final attempt to get into the NHC. So should be a lot of fun.
Well, looking forward to being there starting tomorrow. And, Keith, I appreciate the opportunity to give everybody the lineup of this tremendous and just about as accomplished a set, obviously, anybody that is going to make the National Horse Players Championship Hall of Fame is going to be accomplished. But when you put together this group, Michael Bacek, who we'll talk to next, and David Goodfriend, Stanley Bavlish, and Paul Matisse, and sadly, posthumously, Randy Gallo. Just an amazing. This is one of those great, privileges and honors, Keith, I suppose, for you and the staff. You know, every year you put out, explain to everybody how these names get selected, in fact, because the other players vote on it.
No question about it. You know, we had over 260-some votes cast, and these they're elected by their peers into the Hall of Fame. We expanded it a couple of years ago. Basically, if you've been a 10-year tour member, or you've won the tour, or the NHC, or been to the final table, you're eligible to vote, and that I think that makes it all the more significant for the individuals that they're voted in by their fellow players, and just a tremendous accomplishment. And putting together the release and the plaques, and reading about all their accomplishments, and then of course having being in the position where you can notify these people. Folks that they've been inducted, it's a great thrill, and one of the best parts of my year every year is notifying the Hall of Fame members.
We should also note Tom Rooney Tom's first NHC.
He's actually coast to coast this weekend. He's going to be at the Pegasus on Saturday, and then he's flying here. He'll be here throughout the day on Sunday. We hope to get him on the air with you. And he'll be here for the Champions Dinner to dole out all that cash on Sunday night. So looking forward Tom's very much looking forward to visiting and seeing his first NHC live.
Excellent. And I suppose we should mention, too, some opportunity for people to watch the late action on Sunday on RTN.
Yes, they're going to have a fan camera here, and they're going to be televising it at the very least the final table, and maybe a little bit more. We're working that out. Plus, TVG will be covering the event throughout the weekend. They'll be doing live hits. One of their analysts, David Weaver, who's a terrific handicapper and a great contest player, is once again qualified for the NHC, and David will be doing double duty. He'll be not only competing over the 3 days, but he'll be reporting for TVG throughout the contest. So appreciate their coverage, and not only here at the NHC, but throughout the year, as they've done a great job of promoting the NHC qualifiers at TVG tracks throughout the season. So lots of ways to view, and of course your coverage on the radio and RTN and TVG, and then we'll be reporting throughout the event as well.
And people will give everybody the links to the leaderboard, and there's also the fundraising I don't want to call it celebrity-ish. the media contest as well, which is a fundraiser. It's a convention. It's a tremendous gathering, and so looking forward to it. And it all gets going Thursday in terms of action, the play-in, and then we'll get started in earnest on Friday. 3 days, and always a great build-up. It's going to be tough to beat August's finish, and the way in which you know, that closed out. That was a storybook ending when we were there this summer.
It was, but it should be a great 3 days. We should have good weather. It's looking like it's going to be good weather at all the tracks that are part of the contest. So we're looking, and of course, the Pegasus card on Saturday. We've got NFL football also on Sunday that'll be in the room. People will be able to bet on that. So a lot of action here, and it's Worlds Colliding with Parimutuel Horse Racing and sports betting, but I think that's where we're headed. So why not?
Keith, I appreciate this, and I just put up a little tweet, a quick tweet for everybody to acknowledge and congratulate, particularly those that are on Twitter, Dave Gutfriend and Paul Matisse, Stanley. They're going to have to go to one of Stanley's Subway shops to congratulate Stanley until they see him in Vegas, and of course Michael, who's joining us now. Keith, I will see you as early as tonight, but certainly tomorrow morning in the event center.
Look forward to it, Steve. Safe travels.
Thanks so much, Keith Shamblin, everybody, and just an unbelievable lineup. And Michael Bacek is going to join us first. The interesting thing about Bacek's election and his induction to the Hall of Fame, it came without fanfare. There was not a big public campaign. Maybe there's a message in there, Michael.
It was the un-campaign this year. Yeah, maybe I've been doing it wrong my entire life. I've been campaigning when really you should just not do anything and let the public decide. It's kind of funny.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm incredibly honored and humbled, and you know, it does mean a lot. I'm not gonna get up here and say with some, you know, inductees into other hall. I don't deserve it, and I shouldn't get it. You know, I wanted to get in. I thought I should be in, and it's just humbling, and I'm honored to be a part of this. What a tremendous, you know, class of inductees. To stand alongside those guys is just, it's just a real big honor for me.
We'll obviously, see you as early as when you heading over?
I guess I'll be there tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll have chances to kind of flesh out some topics that are directly contest related and others on a more broad basis. But I wanted to get that instant read the microphone in the face kind of moment to acknowledge and of course I it's hard not to have you on without discussing your very public discourse and frustration over the miasma, as it were, around the game. And if you want to touch on that, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, as I made the decision a while back, knowing, just that the NHC this year was going to be my January 1st, basically, and it was going to be my last one for a while. And then I just started making, moving forward from that. And I got to the point where, I just realized that I just don't have as much fun betting on horse racing as I used to. And, I've seen some of the comments about, you're a losing player, so you're leaving the game because you can't win. And, I'm a winning player taking out the $1 million. That's prize money. But I'm a winning player over the last 10 years. So, it's not that. It's certainly tougher to win Parimutuel, shit-ass Paul Matisse. He does it day in, day out. I know he's grinding, and it's harder, and it's harder to win contests because people are better. But the real truth is, it started as a hobby. It kind of transformed into, kind of a side hustle business a little bit. you know, and it's not as fun anymore. And so, you know, you work very hard at your job. It's very stressful, and you want to have some, you know, relief when you're doing something on the side as a hobby, whether it's, you know, playing tennis or running or gardening. And it's just not anymore. It's just too frustrating to see the things that I see in racing. And so, you know, I need to take a step back. And, you know, that means, you know, cutting off the you know, no more betting on a daily basis online. But I'm going to go to tracks. You know, I love going to the fairgrounds. I love going, I'll be at Saratoga. You know, and I'll go play some contests where, you know, at Keeneland and places where I want to, you know, see my friends that I've met, you know, around the tournament circuit. But on a daily basis, it's just, you know, it's too much investment of time and too frustrating until things change. You know, and I'm hopeful still that things will change, that HISA, you know, in whatever form it comes out, will be able to be an agent and a powerful change agent for our game to try to rid, the, you know, us of the ills, some of the ills at this point, so that I can come back and feel more comfortable and less frustrated betting. And the final thing is, yeah, there's also a lot of competition for a gambling dollar these days. You know, we're about, this week will be legal online sports betting in Louisiana. We've been legal online daily fantasy for a while. Those are things that are attractive to me, and they give me a better return and a fairer game on my gambling dollar. So there's just a lot of factors, you know, working here. But, gee, I hope I'm able to, you know, get back and take a step back for a while, and then get back in this when the game has changed for the better.
I don't know if I want to you know, delve into it. We certainly will have other chances to do this, I suppose. But once we get to Vegas and we're immersed in the, you know, in the contest and in the racing, maybe this is a better setting. I'm curious, Michael, because I don't.
Dick is speechless.
I'm like, not speechless so much. Well, so much as I don't know. A lot of the things that are identified as you know, frustrations. Yeah. I have a very different outlook and approach. And what's curious about this with you specifically is your day job and the fact that easily the same parameters could be put on the state governments and you know, the, yeah, the national, yeah, government scene. And when you say you're kind of stepping back and throwing your hands up and aren't going to engage to, you know, to try to make things better, I hope you're not doing that, you know, when it comes to you know, defending democracy and I mean that, right? Well, I mean, where's the differential here?
Let me clarify. So I will not be silent, you know, as I've not been silent in horse racing to try to get things changed. Okay, but I'm not investing my, you know, my dollars or anymore into a game that I don't think is fair. So I'm not going to be quiet about, you know, I'm not going to go quietly off into a corner. You know, I'm still going to have a voice. And I'm going to use it to try to change, sure, this game so that I can come back. On the political side, Steve, let me tell you, I'm just as frustrated as any other citizen, any other voter who pays any sort of attention on both sides, on the Republican and Democratic side. I've been as frustrated with how government, specifically the federal government, is, you know, Congress works or actually doesn't work and hasn't worked. And under the current, you know, real system of financing campaigns and, you know, who gets to spend money or who gets to donate money, it's just not going to change. And I'm as frustrated as anybody. But, and this is a humongous but, this is how I make my living, you know. You know, if I was making a living from horse racing, I would be able to put up with the frustration, you know, because you're driving, you know, dollars. But on the political side, I mean, the billions of dollars that is spent, and those billions with a B, on political campaigns is how, you know, I make a living. And I'm proud of electing the people that I do elect or help to elect. But that's a totally different, you know, equation on trying to find something else to do with your time. That's a commitment to a profession, you know, that I'm going to stick with until I find that it's too frustrating. And let me tell you, I mean, that level of frustration is just, you know, increases every year, you know, because good people lose, bad people get elected and do bad things. And then look, I'm not trying to get into a party political thing. That's on both sides, okay? And I hate to use the old both sides, but, you know, the Republican Party has some people, the Democratic Party, and I don't know where, there's no middle anymore. There is no middle. And, you know, the country ran better. Things got done when there was a middle ground in Congress, and we just don't have it anymore.
That's fair. Because, you know, when I read what you wrote and, I mean, that in the back of my mind, I said, when I see Michael, I'm seeing you now, you know, via technology. But at least I try not to to let the frustrations be, you know, overwhelming because I know that there's either solutions that aren't being fully utilized or there's potential solutions that can address a lot of areas, but you know the fact is that there's just too many you know smart and effective people in all areas of the industry and the game and the sport, however you want to identify it, to not succeed. One thing that I imagine you've got to agree with is that we've got a impossible media dilemma that magnifies every single thing that could be interpreted as a negative, that doesn't even get the benefit of full examination, it is just immediately, you know, turned into a brush fire and a conflagration, no matter how minor, and the amplification and the echo chamber on that front is very damaging, and it just makes it feel overwhelming, and I refuse to get caught up into that for sure.
No question. That's the media environment that we live in, and you know, if you call it whatever you want, industry, game, whatever, if the leadership and the leaders of our industry don't recognize that, and they have not yet, then you know, we're going to keep losing that daily battle. There is no concerted, coordinated, paid effort to change our brand and our profile and to be proactive on communication. It is an exercise in defense every day, every week. You know, we're always defending something. And we're not being proactive on what are the good things about our, you know, about the game. So, and we've also let others dictate that frame of dialogue.
Right.
You know, especially in California. You know, I mean, gee whiz, look what just happened with Dr. Blee. You know, I mean, this is like, I mean, but that's going to continue. I mean, they have the upper hand. and we don't have anything, I mean the industry, the game, whatever, there's no pushback on that. There's none. And you know, if you allow one single voice to be the only voice that's heard, people's minds are going to be changed, and people's minds are being changed right now, especially in California. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not gotten any better politically. Let's just talk politically standpoint. I mean, we're moving down a road where, and I think I said this years ago, that, you know, racism's going to be banned in California. I mean, it takes one referendum. And if there was a referendum put on the ballot in November of this year, there is no question in my mind racing would be banned in California. There are no good reasons that anybody is talking about at this point for keeping it. And there's a multitude of reasons, whether they're valid or not, most invalid, about why, you know, we should get rid of it. But if you hear just one side of an argument and you're not necessarily tuned in, you know, to the facts, you know, racing's losing that argument there. And I don't know that we have a solution to that, Steve. I just don't, you know, we don't have that central body. We don't have the commission. We don't have a commissioner or, you know, a single entity that, you know, has an arm of communications that goes out and tries to change minds from a proactive communication standpoint and also from a governmental relations standpoint. You know, we're not focusing on legislators around the country. You know, that's an underlying foundational frustration I have, and it is frustrating because I think I could fix it because this is what I do, you know. And I mean, at least if I don't fix it, I could try to fight it. And we don't have any there's nothing on the horizon to me that says, hey, we're gonna address this, you know, we're gonna fix that. So looking down the road, I mean, we're going to continue to get these stories every week, every other week, because that's what the media is wanting to report, because they're not hearing another side of the story.
Now, and that that part I think everybody, you know, can agree on, and that is an area, and it certainly in the period of time that I've done this show, we've been caught repeatedly flat-footed and curiously have lacked a, you know, emergency response system, you know, to legitimate complaints and issues, and you know, it's a complex. The explaining the game to people,
it's not so much that, Steve. It's like, and the industry, but we have been so non-transparent, you know. And so when something has happened in the past, if everybody, you know, shuts their door and doesn't let anybody in, and we don't talk about it, and that's gotten us into where we are today.
Well,
and even with HISA though. I mean, this whole USADA, you know, whether, you know, I don't know, are they negotiating? Was it a split? What we were promised was not what we got. But let's just get out there and talk about it and tell people what happened. So there's no speculation. And get your story in front of people. And, you know, that didn't happen because they just, you know, people picked up their notebooks and went back into their workspace, and you know, we're not going to talk about it because we don't have to. There's a bit of arrogance, you know, in our industry, and that's hurt us tremendously, and it's hurting us today.
Well, and that's that identification can be laid at a very prominent set of feet, frankly. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
We'll have that
either.
Conversation over a cold drink.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah.
I'm frustrated with, you know, I guess maybe because, you know, I feel like I don't have all the answers. I have some, but I don't think anybody's talking about it, you know, in the terms that I think it should be talked about. So, but again, I'm still hopeful Haifa, can fulfill its mission. And when they do something, terrific and great and bust some cheaters, they can talk about it, and they will talk about it, and that'll restore some trust and fairness into the game, I think, is missing at this point.
Well, Michael, the hope is that you'll be as active as ever with action that very well could assuage your concerns and frustrations, and I hope that that's the case for. Not just for you, but for anybody that is at wit's end to some degree, and just at a point, return.
I'm not walking away mad. I'm walking away sad. I'm opening the door for. I hope there's a path. In the next year or two. So I can come back. Or, feel like I want to. I really do. So I'm not walking away mad. It's just, but today is a day I want to celebrate, honor. And being in with, Dave and Paul and Stanley and Mr. Gallo, these are the titans really the titans of the contest space for the past, decade plus. And, just to be mentioned in the same breath as some of those people, these are people I respect immensely, to be walking into the Hall of Fame with those people, those guys, it's a real tremendous honor, and I'm humbled by it and thankful to the voters and to the NTRA.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you as early as tomorrow, and the opportunity for you to, there's a handful of former champions that still looking for a two-time winner of NHC.
Well, that would be a pretty big mic drop to go out in your last one, retirement, so to speak, and then win the NHC. So, I'm prepared. I'm preparing. Maybe I've over-prepared in the past, or maybe it's just been my handicapping has been so poor. It didn't really matter how I prepared, but. I'm coming in a little earlier than I normally do, not doing as much of the, track-by-track preparation. Coming in more with a clearer mind and hopefully a fresher mind by coming in early and taking it easy for a day before I, tackle the Friday races. So we'll see if I've changed up my prep a little bit, whether that has anything to do with it. It's so hard. It's just so hard to, as all the other champions and, wow, what a performance by Jose Arias last year. He almost pulled it off. I was rooting for him. I wasn't pulling against Justin by any stretch, but, it's just so, so difficult. Everything has to go right, and it has to go right for you, twice in your life, basically. So, Roger Satina has done it a couple times, not one, but he's been there at the end. And
Ray, what about Ray? Ray Arsenault came as close as anybody.
Yeah, it's hard. Those guys are just those are tremendous players, So I'd love to join them and just give it, be able to give it a shot, give it a go at the end on Sunday to try to get to lift that trophy. For the second time, that would be awesome.
That would be. I love it, Michael. I appreciate the frankness and speaking from the heart and with passion toward the game, and that's appreciated a great deal. So I will see you this week, and we'll talk more.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Baychuk Racing to follow Michael on Twitter, and I don't know if this does this mean he's going to use his other account, M. Bacek, I think, was his original, and then he started Bacek Racing as a Twitter moniker. Somebody else, actually, that has had a couple of different incantations in his Twitter persona. He's had so many personas, actually, over the years, and one of the game's most fascinating and brilliant minds, the second of the Hall of Fame inductees joining us, Dave Goodfriend. Maven, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's surprising. I'm very shocked, quite frankly, that I got put it in. It's complete state of my career.
Hey. Great. Dave, hold on a second. This is a lousy cell connection. Casey,
all right. Hold on.
Is it the house or the condo or?
Your number and be back in a sec.
All right, great. All right, Casey will pick you up. That's what we'll do. All right. Casey will pick David up and go with a landline. Can't miss a chance to visit with Dave. While we've got a window, I'll tell you what else is going on. Dr. Palmer's going to join us. Scott Palmer, the New York State Equine Medical Director, and we're going to talk about the NIRA sensor project that. It could be an enormously helpful way to track potential injuries. And this is a project that known as StrideMaster. Dr. Lambert, you've probably have seen over the last couple of years. You've seen references to it. And Dr. Palmer is going to explain what is going to be involved. And, in fact, tomorrow there's a NIFA meeting to have it presented. The horsemen absolutely signed on to this. The project, Glenn Kozak originally, and I didn't bring it up with Glenn last week, probably could have, but Glenn Kozak and Dave O'Rourke have really been instrumental. They're the ones who have made this happen, and should be very interesting. It's been tested, I know, at Emerald. Emerald Downs had kind of a pilot program, we'll find out all there is to know from Dr. Palmer. Going to also hear today, Andy, of course, Andy Serling in Hour 3, and we've got to check in with Tom Ventura down at OBS. We got the sale today and tomorrow. And in fact, yesterday, the February catalog came, the winter mixed from Phasic. What else? Dr. Palmer and Tom, I'm missing. Oh, Leslie's Lady. If you didn't see yesterday afternoon, word came that incredible. You can't laud what she has done to the breed enough. Leslie's Lady, 26. Broodmare of the year in 2016, but her influence will stamp the stud book forever. We'll not sure who might visit yet. I've got a couple of certainly Sid tomorrow. We'll talk about Leslie's Lady and what Into Mischief and Mendelssohn and Beholder mean to the breed. I think Dave is back with us. Or maybe not. Case, you got him back? Oh, he's not back. Okay, I got it. Here it is, Case. I think he sent it to me. It was buried behind a couple of numbers. Hold on. Okay. Oh, you got the number? All right. So... is that the same one? All right. All right. We'll get we will get Dave back. Yeah. Leslie's Lady. I mean, it does show you that the breed itself, that no matter what anybody wants to say, the fact that a mare like this, and I suppose Urban C probably has to be included in the same, right, in the same vein. I mean, the fact that a Latreille-esque influence, and it also tells you why, and I'll let Sid talk about this tomorrow, but it's why it's foolhardy to suggest that just because a stallion doesn't get great sons, doesn't replicate himself through a son, the way in which the equine husbandry works is amazing in that regard. It seems to know what it's doing. We're trying to help it along, but it has its own magic to it. David Goodfriend is a magical horse player and poker player, and he's back with us. David, congratulations again.
Thanks, Steve. I'm still stunned that I got voted in. Appreciate each and every vote. And literally, since there was a tie for third, which is why there was an extra person getting in, and I'm convinced that I'm one of the people that tied for third, every person that voted for me made a difference in voting. And not to go down a Michael Bayczuk road after a great interview with him and politics getting involved, but voting is very, very important.
No doubt, and what this is, and why I'm sure you feel the way you do, is because in some people's minds, you've been a bit of a lightning, you've been a bit of a controversy
polarizing
magnet.
Might be the word, Steve.
Polarizing. I don't think of you as polarizing, really, because nobody. Whether people agree with some of the things that you've talked about loudly and pointedly, nobody's going to argue that you don't have the game's interests at heart and horse players' interests at heart, and even if you don't agree with you, everybody appreciates much like what Michael's going through right now, a very public voicing of frustrations.
Well, first of all, I want to say congratulations to the other inductees, Stanley, Paul Matisse, posthumously Randy Gallo, who I just have so much admiration and respect for. And Michael was just brilliant with you in the last half an hour, just absolutely brilliant. And I know Michael greatly wanted to get into the Hall of Fame, and congratulations to him. And regarding me being polarizing, anybody that knows me in real life knows what a passion I have for tournaments, whether they're horse racing tournaments or poker tournaments. I absolutely love the competition, and I've always been on the side of the players. I was literally a one-person's player committee back in the day before there was a players committee. I spoke on the tournament's behalf before it started. 16 years ago, I was on the ESPN broadcast. I've always had the players' best interest on my side. And, some people might not like the fact that I speak my mind. And, that's the world we're living in these days. Freedom of thought is less thought of than it used to be when I was growing up and as a kid. But I've remained authentic over the years, and I very much feel that's an important part of my legacy going forward, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, and you know, you have been drawn in several different directions over the years. You've taken up some, you know, various interests. You left the country for a little bit. I mean, talk about what you've always enjoyed the most about the game and about. It doesn't even have to be limited to, frankly, to racing. I mean, you appreciate games of skill, and you know the cards have that aspect to them too. I mean, what is it about the competition that appeals to you the most?
Oh, I think first of all, it's an escape from real life. Hmm. I mean, that's what going to, you know, Michael was talking about that. You know, you go to the track for fun, and you know, a day out, if you will, and poker can be that way a lot as well. And you combine that with the competition factor in tournaments, and where you can literally, you know, limit what you're losing into the day to the buy-in. You can add, turn a little bit of money into a lot of money, and, you know, with various different strategies and occasionally a little bit of luck along the way, you can, you know, have a dream of turning a few hundred into a few thousand at the end of the day. And, you know, reading the racing form, looking at the puzzle of a horse race, and trying to figure out exactly how a bunch of dumb animals are going to run in a left-handed circle, and who's going to go to the lead, and who's going to be outside, who's going to be inside, what the jockeys are going to do. It's a pretty sort of trivial intellectual pursuit, if you will, but it's a lot of fun at the same time. And I'm an old school, you know, I got introduced to the game in a lot of ways by Andy Beyer and Picking Winners and going back to that old book. And so many of the things that he wrote about in that book are how I feel about horse racing and handicapping and the challenge of it and where the interest comes from and how it's one way or another still persists over the years.
Well, it's an honor and a distinction, well earned. I mean, you got.
I won the tour. I've had, you know, some top 20s, you know, some final table when fellow inductee Paul Matisse kicked the crap out of me in 2016. You know, one thing I'd like to say out loud is, you know, my involvement with Derby Wars and helping Derby Wars get started, you know, it's been 11 years or something like that since I got involved with Derby Wars. John Doyle was involved way back in the good old days as well. And the fact of the matter is the NHC had its largest growth period in the early days of Derby Wars as we introduced so many people to, you know, tournaments and online contests. And I really hope from a selfish perspective that that's not overlooked. And we really had the players' hearts in a good place when we created Derby Wars. And there's no question in my mind that our existence poked the bear, if you will, and made a significant difference in the history of the NHC.
Well, and you know, I'm glad you referenced that because it also speaks to something that I would counter some of what Michael suggested, which is that the dedication to innovation and you know, bringing things to, you know, to market, as it were, that players would appreciate, and that's been a parade of contest concepts. It's been things like the work that went into developing Timeform US, the work that Scotty McKeever has put in with to create Equine Edge, Optics EQ,
John Doyle. There he is again.
Exactly.
I mean, that he's not even nominated to me is it's a mystery.
Well, that you know, it's a collective thing. Some of this stuff, you know, piles up, and you know, you always got to go through a backlog of potential candidate. So sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, of inducting the layers of candidates. But it, you know, there's good examples of how, you know, of innovation and of commitment and investment in the game all over the place, and those are perfect examples.
And without trying to sound too bitter at a time like this, it's not always rewarded, Steve. It's not always rewarded.
No. Listen, that's a fickle element in a lot of ways. I mean, you could at every level, frankly, Dave. That's true. I mean, you look at people that have put money and time into the game and had maybe some degree of success, but you know, ultimately, for whatever reason, the fates didn't allow. I mean, this is one of those, you know, one of those things that no matter how successful you've been in any other endeavor, it doesn't guarantee you success, you know, in racing at whatever level you try.
No question about it. And I just want to touch on something that Keith mentioned and Michael mentioned, and I just want to say it again. What an amazing class to be going in with. Three classy and just terrific servants of the NHC, three amazing champions in Stanley, Paul, and Michael. And that I'm going in with Randy Gallo means a whole lot to me. I was always at the Better Racing contest. I was a longtime Better Racing customer, Dave 16 back in the day. you know, who else could get handicappers to go to Flandreau, South Dakota? Who even knew what Flandreau, South Dakota was, for God's sakes? Randy was just so generous with his time, so generous with, in so many ways. And he gave me some personal great advice, and I hope to continue to respect him over the years by living up to that advice and learning from that advice and, you know, taking that lesson to the best of my ability. Randy was just an amazing human being, and he's incredibly missed.
Well, and even before I knew that you were getting into this class, we had talked actually last week, and you had mentioned you didn't know if you were going to be able to come, and you've been looking after your dad, you know, whose health is wavering a little, and we wish him the best. But you know, you said that, you know, you had heard that Randy was going to be, you know, posthumously inducted, and you didn't want to miss that. So now it's doubly blessed to be able to come out to Vegas for your own induction and to honor Randy.
No question about it. And flying out on Sunday morning, unless something really bad happens, and I'm really looking forward to it, and look forward to seeing a lot of people out there. It'll actually be my first time, quote unquote, out in public with anything other than members of my family since basically Thanksgiving weekend. You know, I did play a handicapping contest the next weekend at Indiana Grand, but I did everything I could to avoid other human beings while I was there. And so I look forward to being out and about and seeing everybody on Sunday night.
Well, and looking forward to seeing you, and I'm hoping you'll pitch in some of the most fun moments in the broadcasting of NHC have included you at the table. So hopefully we can get some color commentary Sunday.
We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. And just one thing I feel the need to mention after 3-4 years ago, if I do speak, it will be short. It will not be long. It will be short and sweet. I promise.
You were great. You were great with that speech. That,
it was well
all.
Meant, but it went way too long. Let's face it.
The one and only David Gutfriend, everybody, and Team GFY into the hall. It's unbelievable. Well done.
It is. Slip through the back door. And one last thing about getting in. Michelle Ravencraft was nominated and she decided not to allow herself to get on the ballot. And like I say, since I think I got in through the back door in a tie for third, if she allows herself to remain on the ballot, I don't even get in. So, I mean, this is so unlikely. It's not quite Norman Shad beyond fairy tale, but it's pretty close.
I love it. A dead heat victory. I love it. One way to go. David Gutfriend, everybody. Dave, we'll see you Sunday.
Thanks, boss.
David Gutfriend, the maven, the one and only. A brilliant, brilliant strategist and games player and unique and brilliant. True of everybody of this set of five that are getting in. Let's take a break here. Top of the hour, just a couple minutes past. Dr. Scott Palmer, the equine medical director for New York, is going to join us to talk about the sensor project, Stride Master, that is gaining a lot of momentum, tremendous interest, and essentially this just fits in with the whole advance warning system concept, being able to anticipate horses at risk before injury or catastrophic injury. Dr. Palmer joins us after this at the races. Hour 2, Sirius XM. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania.